Hey, ladies and gents, welcome back to another episode of Woman's Hour. We are your hosts, Chloe and Sam, and today we will be discussing the topic of gender inequality and the places that we simply work in.
Well, Sam, women in the workplace have had such a struggle since the start. It started all the way back in the 1800s with the women's suffrage movement. Obviously, men were opposed to this because they like to be problematic and strongly believed that women should be housewives. Even some women, like Phyllis Schlafly, were opposed to women working, which does not make any sense because why would she not want to have rights? But again, that's just how it was in that time period.
Yeah, Chloe. And now it's more normalized for women to be in the workforce, which is great. However, they're still facing discrimination and a large pay gap. Even worse, women make 82 cents for every dollar a man makes, which is a lot in retrospect. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics data, in 2020, women's annual earnings were whopping 82.3% of men's, and the gap is even wider for many women of color.
So today we have a special guest, Gabby Ortiz, who we're going to be interviewing.
Hi, Gabby. What obstacles did your Abby face when she joined the workforce as a female immigrant?
My Abby came from Cuba when she was very young, so she wasn't really forced into the workforce when she got here, but my bisabuela had to work here because like they needed money, but not a lot of people wanted to hire her because she was like an immigrant. One, she didn't speak English, and she was also a woman, and at that time men had still thought that women were like less than them. And she told me that that was the case with a lot of the jobs that she had applied for. Like, a lot of people were like, oh, we can find better people to work here that are like men, you know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't really want to hire her because of that she was a woman, you know? So it was hard.
Thank you.
Wow, Gabby, that story is very powerful. Another topic that needs to be discussed is the fact that women are often being taken advantage of and how men abuse their power. Harvey Weinstein, the producer of many well-known movies such as Lord of the Rings, Paddington, Scream movies, and Spy Kids, had over 80 women accuse him of sexual assault. He would force women into doing these things they didn't want to by saying he would help with these careers. This led to the Me Too movement, which empowered women to come out and speak about their experiences. Another study had shown that about 9 out of 10 people who have part-time jobs that require childcare and other family-related reasons are women.
Yes, Sam, and this is a lot about how women are expected to be the primary caretaker of their children, and less of the responsibility falls on men, which allows them to be able to focus more on work. Another topic to be discussed is the workforce of social media and how that affects women.
Within the past 10 years or so, social media has grown very popular. It used to be just people posting videos or content for fun, but as the industry has grown, people have found ways to utilize it into full-time jobs by being an influencer and posting content. Social media itself has become very hateful with time, but it's especially harsh on women. Women are held to an impossibly high standard of how they're supposed to look, and they're torn down if they don't. The look that they're expected to have is not just natural, and it's genuinely not possible to look like this without having some sort of plastic surgery. Even people who do reach the standard are still torn down for getting plastic surgery, so you really can't win with social media. Many people on social media try to discredit feminism. For example, there was a survey that said 97% of women have been assaulted, made uncomfortable, stared at, or catcalled by men. They quickly tried to discredit this and say that making someone uncomfortable or staring at them doesn't count and isn't valid. Social media has also had its benefits with the feminist movement, however. Like Sam mentioned, because of social media, women were able to start the Me Too movement. This gave women not only the platform, but the confidence to speak up about their experiences with assault. It also gave them a way to hold these men accountable. The law system, however, is another story. Only around 6% of rapists even spend a day in jail, which is very sad. Social media has helped women speak out about their experiences, which is a very good thing. People are able to spread awareness through social media on important topics that need to be discussed. You can also post links to petitions or GoFundMes that contribute to these important topics. Social media has helped to shape the feminist movement that exists today.
This is Ms. Taylor, an English teacher's response to our questions about gender inequality.
In response to the question, have I ever experienced discrimination because of my gender while working in the field of education. Luckily, that really hasn't been the case for me. I think I work in a field where it's actually female dominated. So I haven't experienced what I think some women experience in other fields like law or the medical field, engineering, where it's mostly male dominated.
In the next clip, I asked my dad, who's a lawyer, about the inequalities between male and female lawyers and the struggles that he's seen them face while trying to enter and work in the law field. My first question that I have to ask you is, what challenges have you seen women face in what's typically a male-dominated field of work?
Well, it's a good question, and I think that's something that we at my law firm, we spend a lot of time thinking about. The one practical issue that, you know, is one of the more important ones to me is that the legal profession is built on relationships and developing relationships both with other lawyers and with your clients. And one of the things that I've talked to a lot of our female lawyers about is the challenges that they face, in that if I want to meet up with one of my clients, for example, which is something that I should be doing, and I can just say, hey, do you want to go out and grab dinner and watch a game? And it's a very easy phone call for me to make, and we do it all the time. I think for women, it can be a little bit more challenging because there's more to it. If a young lawyer reaches out to her client and says the same exact thing that I just said, you know, she's got to worry. Well, does, you know, what is this guy like? Could he be creepy? Is he going to think that this is a date and not just a work function? And so it makes it harder to develop those relationships. And it's those relationships that help people advance in the legal profession. So that's certainly one area. And one of the ways that we can do it, or that we have stressed, is also with women, making sure that they're going out with our female clients. And I think women in our workplace are spending a lot more time really focused on helping each other. So that's sort of my answer there.
That's actually interesting, because me and Sam were previously talking about the Me Too movement. So how has this played a role in what you were talking about?
Well, it's a good question. And I think the Me Too movement has helped in a lot of ways. It has knocked off a lot of inappropriate behavior and really thrown a marker down in terms of how men need to behave in the workplace on the positive side. On the negative side, though, you know, if it goes, you know, too far to the other way, if for example, like a male boss to his associate, it doesn't feel comfortable getting dinner with her, whereas if it was a guy, a lawyer, he would have no trouble, you know, who was working for him, he would have no trouble. Again, it goes to relationships and making sure that women have the same rights and abilities to develop relationships, which are key in the legal world.
The last question I have is, what do you think the impact that family life and the responsibility of raising children has on women in the legal field?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think motherhood adds an entirely additional dynamic. And yes, you know, well, men will be fathers, and family and the work-life balance is difficult for men as well. But in a high-pressure area as in the legal profession, that is demanding in terms of hours, it does, you know, the pull of feeling like you're the primary caregiver. And I've certainly seen in my years, women really struggle with that. And sometimes they've worked part time, but the problem there is that, you know, the job is still demanding. And that just means maybe they're working from 12, once they put the kids to bed, from 11 to 1 o'clock in the morning, and yet they're just getting paid for part time. So it's an issue that I've certainly seen and women struggling with, in terms of feeling like they're not, you know, not doing everything they should be on both the family side and the work side. And it's just another thing that makes it even, you know, that much more challenging for women in the legal workplace.
Wow. Thank you, Chloe and Mr. Pfeiffer. As we wrap up our segment, we want to finish by saying that women have come a long way in the work industry, but there's still improvement to be had about gender differences in the workplace.
All right, ladies and gents, that's it. We'll see you in the next episode.